Today, here on Cincy Business Talk with Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. We'll be talking to business leaders about how they have grown their businesses and people. We discuss new strategies, tactics, and philosophies which lead to positive growth in our marketplace. Our program is sponsored by Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. Each week, we'll talk with our best Cincinnati area top executives about their tools and insights. Our regular listeners will be given the edge that will help them win in a competitive environment which we live. Simple solutions to complex problems which challenge all of us are rarely correct. We will address complex problems or opportunities with appropriate solutions. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400. Now your host, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, Mike Roth.
Thanks, Scott. This is Mike Roth. Today I'm here in studio with our guest, Jody Binning. Say hi to everyone, Jody.
Good afternoon, everyone.
She is the founder of 3Point Marketing. Before we get started, I'd like to tell everyone about some of the exciting shows that are coming up in the rest of October. Next week, on Thursday, we have the new owner of Recruit Military, Peter Gundmanson. And on Friday, we have Chip Shriver from Shriver Security. Following week, on October 10th, we have Mike Hoffmeister from Madrona Homes of Cincinnati. And then a long-awaited guest, Bill Scarava from Harmony Hill Winery. He wanted to wait till after the wine season was over before he came on the show. Then we're going to have an internet website guru, a fellow named Raymond Sarnoff, who's got an entirely different way of looking at websites and website search optimization. And on the 18th of October, we have Jeff Weiland from Jack Weiland Builders. Sandler event coming up on Wednesday, October 16th, over at the Clovernook Country Club. A program called The Seven Deadly Sins of Sales. Great program. It's a $25 charge for that. It includes lunch, a little bit of networking, and a great program. Now, let's tell everyone a little bit about Jody. Jody has more than 16 years of professional service marketing experience. Started out in a career in journalism. She went to work at the Cincinnati office of National Life of Vermont. She then followed her former managing partner to New England Financial, where she worked for 7.5 years as an agency marketing director, where she won many awards, including 5 agency marketing director awards and 1 master marketing director award. That was through the New England Financial Company. Mm-hmm. And she was then tapped to go to the home office of MetLife as the senior field marketing consultant. MetLife, isn't that like New York City?
That's New York City.
So you spent some time in New York City?
Absolutely.
How long?
6 years.
6 years, a long time.
But I lived here.
You lived here working for the home office?
Uh-huh.
Well, you got really lucky.
I did get very lucky. Yeah. Delta liked me, too.
Delta must have liked you a lot, yeah. You can't tell from my accent. I grew up in New York on 33rd and 3rd.
Never would have guessed.
Never would have guessed. Yeah, my kids are on Long Island, so I go back to Long Island at least a couple of times a year to get that accent reinforcement. Long-term reinforcement is the only way you learn something. Keep that accent. Jody was welcomed to the 2013 class of the 40 Under 40 group in August. That's a group by the Cincinnati Business Courier. The Under 40 winners must demonstrate notable success in business and in the community. Jody was chosen for outstanding commitments from a broad pool of over 500 people were nominated.
Yeah. How would you like to go through that stack of nominations?
Wow. Gee, I'd like to have the nominations so I can pass them off to the Rotary Club of Cincinnati's membership committee.
Yeah, there's a great pool of people, all under the age of 40, who are doing some amazing things.
Mm-hmm. I invite you to the downtown Rotary Club. You can bring the other 499.
How about the 39 who won the other 39 who won the award?
We'd love to have you any Thursday. Say 2 weeks. Our meetings are usually at the Hall of Mirrors in the Hilton Hotel on Thursday afternoons, lunchtime. But in 2 weeks, on the October 10th, we're going to be at the new casino, the Horseshoe Casino.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Keep your money in your pockets. Or not. Or have some fun. Go gamble a little.
Hey. Free parking. That's better than the $3 parking we get downtown with a regular Rotary meeting. You're a member of the Business Courier's Businesswoman's Cabinet. Young Professional Committee at the Metropolitan Club. Remember the Metropolitan Club, too?
Yep.
And you're on the club's Marketing Strategy Committee. You've been involved with programs for your kids' schools, I guess, and camps. And you and your husband, Tom, reside in Cincinnati. And you have two young children.
Two young children. But my husband's name is Tim, so I should correct that.
Okay.
I'm not married to Tom.
Okay. I hope he forgives me for mispronouncing that or misreading that. For those of you who are interested in Sandler programs, the Sandler Foundations program will continue on Wednesday mornings, starting next week with the Upfront Contracts program. Now, I've got a couple of questions for you here, Jody.
Okay.
My first question is off the cuff. How did you come up with the name of your company?
Well, I realize this is radio and you can't see me, but it's not because I'm a basketball star. A lot of people thought 3 points, you know, something with basketball. Absolutely not. I'm 5'2 on a good day. Came up with the name 3-Point Marketing because the consultation process that we give our clients has three very specific points. We help them with their current client cultivation, their new client acquisition, and their branding and image. So those are the 3 points of service we offer, so 3-point marketing.
Okay. With most of your clients, do you use all 3 points?
Yeah, really. When we do a big marketing strategy for them, we take the time to review all three areas. Sometimes they may have bits and pieces of one figured out, so it's not as big a pressing of an issue. But a lot of times we go through all three.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to take position to start your own company as opposed to continuing to work for someone else, whether it was MetLife or someone else?
Great question. A lot of people have that drive in them that they, you know, they maybe have taken a class in college or they've been influenced by a business owner. Maybe they wanted to be active and building their own business. Mine was a little different. I came into it a little backwards, out of necessity, to be honest with you. I loved my job when I was working for a corporate company. That was MetLife. I loved the travel. I loved the perks that came with that and all the points. But it was taking a toll on our family. And traveling with two young kids was just not working anymore. And there was a change in management. And I was going to have to go from traveling 2 to 3 days a week to a leave Sunday evening, get back Thursday night type of situation. And that just wasn't going to work for us anymore. So when I decided that I needed to figure something else out, I did some soul searching and I thought, you know, I love what I do. I love serving this niche market that I serve. There's got to be a way to do this on my own. And started taking some classes, started talking to people, had a lot of coffee, a lot of lunches, explored the opportunity of becoming a business owner and thought, you know, why not? Give it a shot. And it's worked out quite well.
And you've been doing this for about 2 years?
Just a little over 2 years, yeah. So I'm certainly not a seasoned business owner, but I'm still, you know, figuring things out as I go along. But I've been very blessed by the amount of people who have put their arm around me and helped me get through some of the ropes.
Well, I too am a reformed Fortune 1000.
Yeah.
When you said niche, specifically, could you define for our listeners the niche that you'd like to serve?
Absolutely. I know who we're best able to help and who we can't help. Here's a great story. I had an opportunity come our way to help launch a men's personal hygiene product. And it was very interesting. It was very cutting edge. But at the end of the meeting, and I said, thank you, but we're not the right team for you. Product marketing is not our area of specialty. There are a lot of great people in this community because of their P&G background that know product marketing, that can launch that. That's not us. We're really good at those people who have to sell something that's in their head. So if they have a service that they need to take to market, we can help them with that. In particular, my business partner and I, our backgrounds, mine is with a bunch of financial service professionals and insurance guys, and she came from a CPA firm. So we work with a lot of white-collared, cufflink suit type of people who have a high-end clientele and have a very regulatory environment that we have to help solve their needs.
Can you give us an example of a client?
Well,
you don't have to, but
I didn't ask anyone for permission to use their name, but since they had just bought a tribute slide at 40 Under 40 with their name on it, I guess it's okay. I work with a company called Wilson Brokerage Services, and Wilson Brokerage helps insurance professionals with a disability insurance product. So they're trying to take 4,000 insurance professionals and trying to have them sell their one product. So we help get that message and that marketing out to that very specific community.
Extremely specialized.
Very specialized.
Mm-hmm.
Very specialized.
Before I go there, Jody has agreed to take questions from the audience. So if you have a question for Jody, feel free to call in on 646-595-4916. We'll be taking the calls during the commercial breaks. And we have time for one more question for Jody before we go to the first commercial. Jody, why don't you tell our listeners how you go to market?
Absolutely. You know, we go to market, we've learned really that we're best at serving this very specific niche market. And there's not a ton, you know, there's a lot of people who say that they do this, but not a ton of them who need our services. So really, Cincinnati is a big little city. And everybody knows everybody. You know, the old Kevin Bacon game is very true here in Cincinnati. And it's amazing when you spend the time to get to know someone and you break bread with them, how many people that they know that they can then introduce you to. So networking for us and referrals are absolutely key. And we've figured a little bit of that out. We spent some time networking in the wrong areas, going to events just to go to events.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading a lot of business cards around, but it wasn't with the right people. So we really had to spend some time looking at where we were spending our time to get the best results. And then, you know,
networking event, where do you go?
Well, I spend a lot of time at some of the business courier events. I find them to be the right people with the right mentality. So being part of the Biz Women cabinet at the courier helps. So they have the Biz Women event once a quarter about that time, and that's great. There's also a group called 100 Wise Women that Taft puts on, and they meet quarterly, I believe. So that's a really great opportunity. And you just don't know who's going to show up at your table. You get assigned a spot and you get assigned a table, and you have no idea who you're going to break bread with that day. But those have been some of our better networking opportunities.
Good. And we're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to hear from Jimmy Fox, who's going to talk about Tip Club, which is a networking group that meets once a month here in Cincinnati. We are the sponsor, so they meet here at our training center. That's next meeting is October 17th at 7:30 a.m. Jimmy, why don't we take it away?
Hi, I'm Jimmy Fox of Tip Club. Tip Club is a professional networking organization whose members help each other succeed. We meet once per month and provide a forum where business-to-business professionals are able to connect with more desirable opportunities and build long-term strategic partnerships. I'm inviting Cincinnati Business Talk listeners to come to our free networking event. You'll have the opportunity to meet new people, share leads and referrals, and grow your business through strategic alliances. Membership in our Cincinnati group is open to only one person per specific trade or occupation. Business-to-business professionals only, please. We do not accept multi-level marketing or recruiting-driven memberships. This is our only group in Cincinnati. We'll meet on the third Thursday of the month from 7:30 to 9 a.m. at Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, 4357 Ferguson Drive, Cincinnati, Ohio. To reserve a seat, please go to www.tipclub.com and click on the Events tab at the top of the page. Then, just scroll down the list until you come to the Cincinnati event. Or you may call 800-798-0270. That's 1-800-798-0270. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you at our next networking event.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Jody Binning. Jody, you're in a marketing business. Perhaps you can explain to our audience what your unique marketing advantage is.
Absolutely. Our unique marketing advantage is very much tied to our markets that we serve. The fact that we understand their problems that they have because of the scrutiny that they have to go through to go to market, we're able to better serve them. And a broad-based marketing company wouldn't understand all those regulatory issues that we get, we understand. So that helps. That helps.
In that industry, there's a lot of people that have a compliance department, which other people call the anti-sales department.
Absolutely. That's what most of them call it, is the anti-sales department. But when you know ways to get around the issue without diluting the message, you can make it work. As long as you understand the rules, give me the rule book and I can play ball. But if you don't tell me what the rules are, then I can't figure it out. Well, we know the rules. So that helps quite a bit when you're working with a group of people who are reluctant to spend money. They don't want to invest in their practice a lot of times. They want to keep the money to themselves. And when you have to give them an idea to go to market, when you can say, I understand your challenges, and I've been there, and I can help you through it, that really is a big leg up on the competition.
Is that why people buy from you?
I believe so. You know, we also do what we say we're going to do. And there's a lot of people out there that don't, that say they're going to fix this or do this, and you get taken to the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
We come in, we do the plan, we put timelines on it, we put roles and responsibilities on it, and we execute. Now, there are things that come up, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And you have to massage things based on everyone's needs. But, I think that makes us also a little bit different. And we also measure. We measure results in places that we can.
How do you measure results for marketing?
Well, you know, it depends on the initiative or the approach. General branding and PR is a little bit harder to measure because, if a press release gets published, it may not necessarily generate 15 phone calls.
But you can count the number of press releases that were published.
Absolutely. It's easier when you have a specific start and stop initiative. For example, if you're going to do a seminar and you can count how many people were there, how many of it turned into sales, what your dial ratio was, things like that. Or if you have a drip campaign that you launched out, you could say how many pieces of mail were dropped, what was the return response rate, those type of measurements.
Mm-hmm. Do you do drip campaigns for your clients?
You know, it's becoming back in vogue again. I think for a while everybody was running to everything online.
Mm-hmm.
Email marketing was the cure for all. And what people have found is they are overwhelmed by that all. And so you have to kind of go back to old school philosophy, and it's working. I'm a big believer in mixed medium.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, I sent them an email and assume that they got it and assume that they're going to pay attention to it. You have to, I call it kind of the pinata effect, just like a kid with swinging around with a pinata. You don't know which kid is going to open the candy. Same thing with marketing. You can't just go directly with one approach and assume that's going to work. You have to look at it with a broader view and a broader brush and come at it with all the different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wednesday I taught a cold call camp here all day. And when I finished, looked on my computer at email, and there was probably 100 emails sitting in there, and my delete finger was extremely fast.
Absolutely.
I probably deleted a few that I wanted to read that on a slower day I might have actually read, but they didn't reach me. We've been advocating for the last year or so with our clients to return to a direct mail process. We call it targeted business creation system. So do you actually write the letters in the direct mail for your clients?
Sometimes, a lot of times. Sometimes we'll give them examples and say, here are two or three examples of the message that you're trying to get across. What do you like best? You know, we allow them to have the final say on things, though. I mean, this is their practice, their firm, their commitment that they're trying to get the word out there. So they've got to have we can only lead them so far, but they've got to put their own unique stamp on it.
Mm-hmm. What are the opportunities and possibilities you see for your business over the next few years?
Well, good and bad. Over the last couple of years, a lot of firms have either downsized their marketing departments or have completely eliminated them, which is good for us. Because
sure, because you could step in and take over for the three ladies they had full-time.
Yep.
With part-time adjunct services as needed.
Right, absolutely, and they don't have to pay benefits and full-time, you know, employee costs and all those things. So there's a great opportunity there. However, a lot of the challenges being able to show them the value in investing in a marketing plan and process. A lot of people want to see results tomorrow, and this is in the industries we serve. It's a very long sales process. So it's not like you're going to call somebody today and sell the service tomorrow.
Really, what is the sales cycle like in terms of time?
Oh, extremely long. You know, when you're talking with matters of the heart, which is what most of our clients are providing that service to their clients. So whether it be, you know, accounting and having to deal with making sure that you're your accounting situation is set up correctly, or estate planning with a lawyer, or financial planning with a financial advisor, that takes a while. And people just don't wake up every morning and say, well, gosh, I can't wait to talk to somebody about the day I die and what's going to happen with my assets. You know, so that it takes a little while to get that sales process going on. So that's why we are constantly encouraging our clients to cultivate the relationships with their prospects and clients.
Okay, that's their sales cycle.
Yeah.
I think I was talking about your sales cycle.
Oh, yeah.
At 3 point.
Our sales cycle, you know, we every day are sharpening our skills at it. My business partner and I, neither one of us were business owners. She came from a CPA firm here in town.
Mm-hmm. She was a CPA professional?
No, she was a marketing professional.
Okay.
So we were never the ones out making the sales calls or making the pitches. So we have unfortunately done a really bad job of taking our own medicine.
Mm.
Because of time, you know, you take care of your clients first and yourself last. As a mom, that's what I do every day too. I take care of my kids first and myself last. So we're very aware of that, and we're bringing on help to make sure that we do a better job of marketing ourselves, because we have let some opportunities slide through our fingertips just because we weren't paying enough attention to it.
Sounds like you need to come to the seven deadly sins of sales.
I think so. What date was that again?
October 16th, over lunchtime, so everyone could make it, 11:30
yeah.
to 1:15. And as an ex-West Sider, you know where Clovernook is.
Yeah.
First time I drove out there, I had to be guided by my GPS system. But it's a beautiful place.
It is.
It's almost 100 years old. I didn't realize that. In your new firm, have you created a long-term strategic business plan?
Yes.
Really? How long is it?
3 year. Well, I guess, but I don't know how long term that is. But we've 3 year vision, 1 year, and then quarterly. So we meet and kind of go through those visions and obstacles and challenges and where do we want to be and how are we pay attention to where we've been and what we've done.
Mm-hmm. When we work here at Sandler with a client on a long-term plan in today's marketplace, we look at long-term as 2 years, and we look at it as a rolling to 24 months, which means every 6 months you throw out the six that you've completed and add six at the other end.
Yeah.
To build a plan. What do you think service providers are looking for right now?
I think they want to be heard, that they want to understand that their unique opportunity is different and that you can help them with that.
Okay. There's a lot of noise in marketing today.
Lots.
Okay. Whether the noise is on radio and television, newspapers, the internet, blogs, websites, how does a small firm in the niche that you're attempting to help get heard over the noise?
Back to the basics. I think one of the things that a lot of people fail at is taking care of their existing clients. That's why the name of the company is 3-Point Marketing, and the very first thing we look at is current client cultivation. I had my own experience with this, which is why I think I feel so passionate about it. I got married 11 days after September 11th, and shortly thereafter sat down and met with an attorney and did a will, living will, trust, all that great stuff, and never heard from the gentleman ever again. And I felt like...
Wait a minute. You've filled out all the paperwork?
Yeah, we completed it all. Paid for it.
With the attorney, paid him, and you got the documents.
Got the documents.
Never heard from the guy?
Never heard from them again. So you can imagine over the years when I've had different legal issues, do you think I've called them?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And I see that happen time and time and time again, where people work so hard to go get a new client, and they'll bring them in-house, and they'll take care of them, and then they drop them, and they're on to the next thing. And if you treat your existing customers or clients correctly, if you stay in front of them on a regular, ongoing basis without being annoying, so I don't want an email from you every single day,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if I do want to hear from you periodically with value information, that existing relationship can turn itself into more relationships. And growing organically that way, as opposed to spending all that time on all the hype of the newest and latest and greatest stuff out there, it's back to the basics. I mean, we did for a client, we did a thank you card project. Where every time they got they just simply sent out a thank you card, a handwritten thank you card. And it was amazing to me the amount of people who were calling them to say thank you for the thank you, because people just aren't doing it anymore. And
yeah, that's different. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, and Jody has agreed to take calls, so we're going to do that in a minute. The number is 646-595-4916. One comment to prove that you're right. I bought my first life insurance policy as a young guy at 21 years of age. Never forget the day I bought it from this guy named Harvey. And I had the policy in force for way over 30 years. Guess how many times I heard from Harvey after that day?
Never.
Every year I get the bill for the policy. It had his name on it as the agent, and I paid the bill. I never called him. Wanted to see how long it would take him to call me.
Mm-hmm.
He never called me.
And I'd have to guess that from the age of 21 to where you are now, you probably had some life changes happen.
Life changes. I probably bought a couple of $1 million worth of additional insurance since then. And you know, this was a cash value policy. And I guess it was last year. I finally decided I got tired of paying for it. So I called the company. And said, I want the cash value of my policy. I want to cancel it. I don't need the insurance anymore. Anyway, I have other policies with more value in them. So the insurance company was very nice and said they'd process and send me a check. It wasn't until I made that call that I got the first call from anybody at that insurance company. And I guess I was in the orphans category. and one of the agents called me and said, you don't want to do that, Mr. Roth. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I haven't heard from anyone here in 30 years, so
yep.
It's over. Anyway, we're going to take a short commercial break, and Jody will take calls on 646-595-4916. Hi, this is Mike Roth, founder of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. You've heard our commercials about sales and sales management, but you haven't made the call for some reason. Maybe you're having your best year ever. Maybe you think a sales development company won't work in your industry. You're different. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. Maybe you're afraid that if you called, you'd buy something. If you're happy with all your sales and profits and believe you have all the answers or simply don't see yourself investing in yourself or your people, then don't make the call. We have nothing for you. For over 20 years, we've been coaching, mentoring business owners and sales professionals who are serious about their careers. So if you believe that Sandler sales training might make you better, faster, meaner, and stronger, call me at 513-646-6523 or register for our next open house. Roth & Associates, the most experienced sales trainer in Cincinnati. You can check us at www.rothconsulting.net. Imagine you just left your prospect's office and he now has your proposal, quote, or estimate. What do you suppose he's going to do with that valuable information that you just gave him for free? Call you tomorrow with an order? Get real! He's shopping it around to the competition. Hi, this is Mike Roth, founder of Roth & Associates. I'm the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. I'm constantly amazed how salespeople operate. They believe a prospect asking for a proposal means the sale is as good as closed. Face it, trained prospects will turn you into an unpaid consultant. For over 20 years, we've been coaching, training, and challenging professionals who are 100% committed to long-term sales growth and profitability, no matter what it takes. If you're deadly serious about increasing sales, call me at 513-646-6523. Find out how Sandler Training can make you better, faster, and stronger. Or register now for our next open house, 513-646-6523. This is Mike Roth, the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. This is Mike Roth and Jody Binning. Jody, why don't you tell our guests how they can get a hold of you after the show?
Absolutely. You can reach me on my website, which is www.3pointmarketing, and that is all spelled out, so threepointmarketing.com. You could also follow me on Twitter at 3pointmkt, that's 3 point marketing, and again, that's all spelled out. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn and spend a lot of time there. Or, of course, you can pick up the phone and call me at 513-300-4936.
Yeah, of course, all the under 40s will only text you.
It's amazing how many people only text me, and I'm just not under 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a whole demographic thing going on there. I just like to pick up the phone and call people and kind of hate it when I have to send them a text.
Yeah. Well,
I see teenagers, they're got the phone in their pocket, and they're texting with their hand in the pocket.
That's talent. I don't think I could do that. I'd probably fall on my face.
My kids could probably do that, but I certainly can't. You're probably busy right now with all of your time being sold to clients, or you're still actively seeking new clients?
We actively seek new clients, but it has to be the right client. We're not afraid to say we're not the right fit for you, or we don't have the specialty that you're looking for to solve the need that you have. We've done a really great job of building a wonderful team of experts in areas that we are not the expert. So, for example, social media or a logo designing or merchandise, apparel, things like that. We have a lot of people that we turn those things over to. Now, we will help our clients with that, and we'll be the middleman if needed. But if it's something out of our wheelhouse, we turn it over immediately. But yeah, we're always looking for clients, but it's got to be the right one, and it's got to be the right fit for all of us. We're not going to just take on somebody to take on somebody.
Mm-hmm. You said that you spend a lot of time on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
I happen to like LinkedIn as a business-to-business tool. Is that where you're using it?
Yeah. The connectors. I spend a lot of time looking to see who do I want to know and who knows that person and how can I get introduced to them.
How many people are you connected to now on LinkedIn?
Oh, 800 and something. I don't know. I stopped counting after you got to that 500 plus mark. I just stopped paying attention. But, I also have become, I think at the beginning, I kind of took anybody and everybody, become a lot more selective. And I will respond to people and say, please let me know how do we know each other or how are we connected or remind me how we met. Because, the second they connect to me, they also have access to my connections. Mm-hmm. And I hold that near and dear. So I'm a little more careful now as to who I connect with as I was in the past.
Mm-hmm. One of our Sandler clients here in town is connected to 15,000 people. He's one of the top 5 connected people on LinkedIn.
I would think.
And he used his connections to get himself a really good corporate job. I'm connected to about 1,600 people, and Sandler and LinkedIn have worked together on some projects, and we have a regular Sandler technology there. How are you using Twitter?
Twitter for business has been, I'm sure we could be better at it. I send out a lot of blog posts on Twitter. I send a lot of updates on Twitter. I retweet or favorite a lot of other people's thought leadership process. I direct tweet to certain people that I know that are paying attention to it. My niche market are either so afraid of Twitter that they can't spell it, or they choose not to be involved with it because they're afraid of the repercussions that if they, what will happen if they do get involved, because they
compliance.
Yeah. So very few of my own clients are in it. So my own niche market isn't really on it. And you need, you know, for me, where am I going to play more? You know, I got to take my own advice. Where am I going to spend my time? Well, am I going to go spend a lot of chatter in a space where people, the people I want to talk to aren't listening, or do I want to go directly to them and have an opportunity to shake their hand and get face-to-face with them? That's tend to be a better strategy for our particular market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we look at Twitter as a broadcast because, you know, I'm connected to 26,000 people that we've told that the show is on the air, and there are just too many messages coming back of people that I'm following.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't find the messages from my own family.
Well, what was interesting at our 40 Under 40 program, they had asked us to give our Twitter handle, and one of the questions they asked us was, who's your favorite person you follow on Twitter? And it was, from what they told me, it was very surprising how few of us are active on Twitter and involved with Twitter. And I think they thought we would have a stronger presence and a stronger hold on it, and it, you know, I think for business purposes, a lot of us aren't using it yet, or maybe not using it to the fullest advantage.
Mm. It almost seems to me that Twitter needs a filter. Almost Facebook has a filter, you know, now with friends or acquaintances.
Yeah.
Or Google Plus has some form of filtering.
Yeah.
So I can only see the messages from the people that I want to see, as opposed to the millions of messages that are out there.
I use it a lot for research purposes, though. I consider research to be the base of a good marketing strategy, knowing who you want to go after, where are they. But I can use the hashtag searches on Twitter a lot of times to do kind of my own Google Analytics and find articles or thought leadership or information on a particular subject matter. And it's a great way to find some good information. So I do use it a lot for that.
So that's the hashtag where the tic-tac-toe board.
Exactly. Or as someone called it the other day, the pound symbol.
Mm-hmm. Paladin, right. Jody, we have a theory of operation here that simple solutions to complex problems are invariably wrong. Perhaps you could share with our audience a complex problem that one of your clients had that you came up with an equally complex solution to solve.
Sure. I had a client who, and again, this goes back to that treating your existing clientele correctly. I had a client who was losing more clients than they were gaining every year. People were walking out of the door at an alarming rate, and they couldn't figure out why. And so we had to peel back the layers and say, okay, well, how are you engaging with your existing clients?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing? And let's do that research. Let's survey them. You know, how do they want to be communicated with? How often? And what mechanism? Do they want paper? Do they want, you know, do they want to mix? What's going to work for them? And after doing that research and listening to what their clients had to say, raising their, you know, saying, this is what I want, and you're not providing it, we were able to redo the entire platform to make a lot more sense. To you know, you're always, in any research opportunity, you're always going to get something that's going to skew the numbers, right? So you're always going to have some quirky answer out there that, you know, is very passionate about their solution, which just doesn't fit into the analytics. But you need to take an opportunity to look at it all and place the solutions properly. So in this case, we needed to pay attention to the clients or customers that had already purchased from them and figure out a way to retain them. And it was, they just weren't feeling the love. They felt like they were a transactional type of sale, and that they were, they came in and they did their business with them and they moved on. So we did, again, sometimes it's back doing some of those basic things, sending them a holiday card, putting them on a quarterly newsletter list, getting an email marketing system out. And even if they delete the email, if you send it once a month, at least you gave them the chance to reach out.
Do you do for your clients, new clients, a marketing diagnostic before you start?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that work?
We have a questionnaire that we send them and ask them for their feedback, and we ask the team for their feedback, so just not the leader, but we ask everybody in the operation to take the time to fill it out, because sometimes the best ideas come from the people who are at the very front door.
Mm-hmm.
And very few times people stop and ask them their thoughts. And so we want to hear what they have to say, because they see things from a different perspective, and they typically are the front line. So we do a kind of a SWOT analysis type of approach, but we really want to hear from them. You also have to take every client situation into consideration. Some people, for example, love public speaking. Some people hate it. You have to take that into consideration when you're building out a plan for a firm or an individual based on their own likes and needs.
Mm-hmm. Good. We're going to take another commercial break here. We're going to listen to Sandler Rule number 44. Jody has agreed to take questions. So if you have a question, you can call in on 646-595-4916.
Hi, I'm Eric Meyer with Sandler Training, here to talk about Rule 44. If your foot hurts, you're probably standing on your own toe. Here's an example. You go through your proposal with a prospect. Everything looks great. Your prospect is responding in a positive fashion to the information that you brought to the table. Everyone feels good. You wrap up and move forward for the order, only to find that the prospect says that they have to take your information to a committee. Now, at this point, you can get angry with the prospect. Why didn't they bring that up? Why didn't they tell you that they were going to have to take this information to somebody else before they could make a decision? Well, it's your job to ask the right questions to uncover roadblocks and potential problems ahead of time so that you don't find yourself scrambling at a future date when it's already too late. So take responsibility when the prospect brings up new problems and challenges. If you ask the right questions ahead of time, you can diffuse a situation before it's too late. And next time you're faced with the situation, the results will be positive.
Company owners and sales managers, are you tired of cutting your price to get the deal? Wouldn't you like to have a better way? Wouldn't you want to improve your margins? Call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523 to see if there's a better way for you. Company owners and sales managers, are you sick and tired of hiring a salesperson you think is Tom Cruise, only to get Pee Wee Herman on the first day of the job? Call me, Mike Roth, 513-646-6523, to stop this from happening to you again.
You know some people who've hired Pee Wee Herman, huh?
I do know some people who hired Pee Wee Herman against my recommendation at times, too.
that does happen.
You know, it's been a long time since I've been in the hiring process where I've helped people with that, but one of the questions I used to enjoy asking candidates was, okay, you just told me about who you are and what you do from 9 to 5. Tell me a little bit about you from 5 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that character quality question was so key to their success. And it was really interesting. And I used to give a big, big red X or a big green check mainly based on that one specific question.
Mm. Yeah, Sandler used to say you've got to interview the real candidate, and the best sales job most candidates do is on the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So getting beneath the surface critically quickly is of utmost importance. In fact, I have a meeting with a fellow next week who hired a vice president of sales a month ago. When I spoke to him, he said, "Mike, I don't have a vice president of sales. Maybe we should talk." So it happens many times. I like to ask our guests if they can give other CEOs a leadership tip. Perhaps you can do that.
You know, I am a big believer in servant leadership. I think having the wherewithal to get down and dirty with the people in your organization is important. If something needs to happen, a mailing needs to go out and labels need to be put on envelopes, I'll be right there next to you putting the label on the envelope. It's not beneath you. I just heard a great presentation by a wonderful business owner the other day who was talking about that servant leadership, that type of attitude. And it just really struck a chord with me of how important that is, that no, you're really not above anyone. And it goes back kind of to the golden rule, Mike, treat others the way that you would like to be treated. And I think that's a great leadership quality. Instead of barking orders down at people, having an opportunity to really help them grow and mold their change. And again, and I also am a big believer in an attitude of gratitude, saying thank you from the person who cleans the office to the barista that made your coffee in the morning, to the person who was kind enough to remember to have some gentlemanly manners and hold the door open for you. I think it's important to say thank you and say it often and mean it.
Good. Jody, what areas are you good at work, and what areas do you think you really need to work on?
What I'm good at, I am highly energetic and I'm a go-getter. So I like to, let's go, let's roll up our sleeves, let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tackle the problem, let's find the solution. Sometimes I get in my own way because I want to run before I walk. And sometimes I need to put the reins on myself and pull myself back a little bit because I get too excited over something and need to really slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like a little puppy dog, I guess, and get easily excited. The other thing is I definitely need to get better at expressing the possibility of value to people. They with marketing, it's really easy to put them in the corner and say, well, we don't have the budget for it, we don't have the time for it, and showing the opportunity that it can make and affirm by doing a couple of little things without spending a lot of money. A lot of times people think marketing equals money, and I'm out here to say that's not the case. You could make small, simple changes and make a big impact in your
practice. A lot of smaller companies are afraid of marketing exactly because of that. I was talking to a client, a businesswoman who started a new business, and her design of a logo has been excruciatingly slow.
Yeah.
Now, the logo has some value, but as a new company, I told her, hey, you're probably going to change the logo 3 times in the first 5 years you have this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get started and do something.
Right. Yeah.
What are the top 3 things that you want people to know about your company's culture?
Our company's culture. We do what we say we're going to do. It's first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. And we call that commitment.
And, I bring that up because my partner and I have been just shocked at the amount of people we have run into who claim to be something, and then you really get to know the situation and they're completely fake. And that has been... It made our job harder because a lot of people have had experiences with them and we have to come in and say, no, we're really not like that. Trust us. Which the good thing of that is we have a lot of people who will vouch for us. Almost all of our clients will say, sure, have a prospect call me. I'm happy to have a conversation with them and tell you about how you made an impact on my practice. That's good. So we do what we say we're going to do, the commitment. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, we are good at what we do because we are so specific in what we do. The fact that we are able to say we're not the right fit for you, but here's somebody who probably can help you, that takes a lot of guts when you're a new business because you mm-hmm. can see the price tag behind that opportunity.
Sure.
And to walk away from it sometimes can be painful. But I'm not afraid to say I don't know or I'm not the right person or we can't help you, but I'm always wanting to connect them with the person who can.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also makes us a little different and is probably a core value of who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm. What motivates you to make tough business decisions?
You know, I realized when I was at a corporate environment that my headstone is never going to say Jody Binning great, whatever my occupation was going to be. That's not the impact that I was going to make on someone's life. The thing that is impactful are the relationships that you have with people. And that could be a relationship with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, or with business acquaintances. And that's what I crave and that's what I go after is I want that relationship. I want to walk into one of my clients' office and get a big, huge hug, not a formal handshake. So I think that says a lot about who we are and that happened. You know, we can't, when Michelle and I are out, we're constantly hugs and, you know, that's, I guess, a little bit about who we are. And what we stand for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we probably have time for one more question today. Many things drive successful CEOs, and we've determined that it's three things. Maybe you could talk a little bit about each one. First is outlook, your core beliefs. The second is desire, your passion for success and commitment, and do whatever it takes. Perhaps you could share a little bit about how you guys view the business.
Sure. Outlook. You know, I think you're either a glass half empty or a glass half full type of person. And I've always been a glass half full. And what can I do to get it higher? I'm extremely competitive, extremely. I grew up playing sports. I don't like to lose, and I don't like to be told I can't. My best friend and I have gotten into some heated board games or game nights before because we're both really competitive, you know, where we both want to win that bad. But that desire and that passion, I think, comes through in business, too. Not to say that, you know, we can't ever lose, but we don't like it very much. But I think your core beliefs and our core values, it's a part of who you are. It's a part of your DNA. I want people to be proud to know me and be proud to be associated with me. And that I have to do what I say I'm going to do and walk the walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, we call that commitment. And we judge companies and individuals by how they fulfill the commitments. Commitment means doing what you said you were going to do, even after the spirit in which you said it is gone.
Yeah.
Commitment is one of those critical business values, integrity that we propose as critical to any business relationship or engagement. Michelle, I want to thank you for being on the show here with us today. And I'm going to be giving you here a copy of one of the newer Sandler books, The 49 Sandler Rules by David Matson. This book went to the number one position on Amazon when we released it a couple of years ago, and then jumped to the number three position over on the Wall Street Journal list for business books for about 3 months. Great book.
Great. I love a good read.
And you'll find in there a Sandler training calendar and a free pass for one of our training sessions. Love to have you out there to learn a little bit more about Sandler and how it might be able to help you grow your business and some of your clients, because over the years probably 25% of our clients have been in the area of financial services, one way, manner, shape, or form. Scott, why don't you wrap up the show for us?
Thanks for listening.
This program is the property of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, Inc. The show may be distributed only with written permission and then only in its entirety.
If you have any questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400.